Wonderful. Thank you, Diane, for leading us in worship this morning, you and Linda. And sounded great. Seems to be a little bit more sound coming out of here today. And y'all are looking good today. I told you that. You're smiling back at me. I think you are. And that's lovely. You know, as we do have, I want to remind you that Sunday school, we'll be dismissing a little bit early because we will have a special call business meeting at 10:30 in here. And so a couple of items, I think, that want to be presented for a special call business meeting. So if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. I don't know if you have ever done this or not, but have you ever done a time evaluation that you have sat down and jotted out not what you were going to do, but what you actually did, and you tracked your time of where all your time was spent? Time is very important, would you think? And so as we look at Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 11, I'd encourage you later today to read the entire chapter of 13 because it talks about the government and your leaders and higher powers, how that we're subject to them, and that those that have been ordained, how that we're subject to them, and how that God has ordained that, and how that we're to respond to that. Good morning, Aaron. Great, brother. Aaron is one of the gentlemen that has wired our sound and has done a lot of that equipment upstairs for us. And I tell you, when he began to crawl through some places here, brother, I just didn't know. I was like, man, I know I couldn't do it. It does. Amen. So God bless you and your family as well. Today we're going to look at time. Time is so important in Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. Anybody in here ever had somebody come in early in the morning and say, wake up! We're late! I remember back in the day when our children were teenagers that we had this thing called grandfather clock. And you put this little cassette tape in this thing and you set the time. And each morning at that specific time, maybe at 6 o'clock, the thing would come on either with a train whistle or it would come on with airplane. It'd come on with different sounds. And as time went on, we got accustomed to that thing, except for the one morning that when it came on, I'd not ever heard this before, but it says, get up out of that bed, boy. And I could have swore that was my dad's voice. I sat up straight in that bed. I think I even had a cold sweat. Time. It's time to wake out of our sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And Father, we come to you. Lord, we're leaning into you this morning, depending on you to work a work here today that could only be you. Holy Spirit, move on our hearts, those that are watching and those that are present. God, we know you can. We just pray that you move in a mighty way. That God, that those that don't know you as personal Savior, that today is their day. The time is far spent. And Lord, we sense time is running out. And Lord, we need followers of You to focus on what God You have placed us to do as You saved us to share about You, to make Your name known, to be upon Your purpose and Your cause, to love people and to point them to You, Jesus, so that they can know You as their personal Savior and Lord as well. Let us be honest with ourselves this morning. Help us to respond to what You're calling us to do. And that is our prayer, because we're going to give You the glory and the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you remember a time that you were in school and you were wishing the day? You were just longing for the day. Oh, I can't wait till I get in high school. Woo! I'll be big man on the campus. I'll be big woman on campus. I can't wait till I get to high school. And that day came. And then you were wishing the day that you could just drive and have that independence of driving a car on your own to school. And then you were longing for that day that you graduated high school. Just let me get out of here. Amen? No, my. Then you begin to either look toward college or look to getting a job, and you long, and that happened. You got to go to college, and then maybe after college, or you didn't go to college, you just went right into the job force. And you got the job, and you were making money, and you were like, wow, this is just awesome. And then you begin to spot somebody as you're journeying and you're working and life is going good, and you spot somebody that makes your palms, your hands sweat, and your tongue just feels like you've been chewing a sock all night, and you say, whew, I sure would like to marry that person. And you get married. Then you get married and you think, wow, it would be wonderful just to have children. And sure enough, you begin to have a child and begins to have children. And then as time goes on, they go through grade school and high school, you begin to think, I sure wish that day had come that they'd turn 21 and start a life on their own. Anybody there? Anybody been there? And then they're off on their own. They've got a husband and wife are together. And then you begin to think, oh, it would be such nice to have grandchildren, wouldn't it? Oh, that would be wonderful. And time comes, you have grandchildren. What a wonderful time that is. You can spoil them, fill them full of chocolate, and send them home. What a day that'll be. And sure enough, that takes place. Time goes on. Then you begin to think, it sure would be nice when I get to retirement. I'll be glad to get to retirement. And then that day comes. You're retired, and then begin to think, wow, I'm almost home. I'm almost home. Let me just stop there. Which home are you going to if that was today? Which home are you destined to spend eternity if that was today? You know, life revolves so fast. And time goes on so fast, and it hits you at some point in your life. Where has time gone? What impact have I really made on life with my time? Who will be in heaven because of my testimony, living testimony? Who will be in heaven because I got the opportunity to share about Jesus with them? I had the opportunity and the privilege of inviting them to Bible school, or inviting them to worship, or inviting them to a Bible study back here. Who is going to be in heaven because of my impact that I pointed them to Jesus and they got saved? Who's going to be there? because of opportunities I've had? Where is my time gone? What impact have I made in my lifetime to make Jesus Christ's name known and for His cause? Who's going to be there? God has brought you to this time, brought you, every one of you, to this very time. Will you be willing to place your trust in Him and allow His timing to unfold in your life, because you're going to respond to what He's asking you to do today, to live your life from this moment forward, that you're going to take action and trust Him for? Do you realize that the next 30 minutes you are closer to meeting a holy and just God who will determine your eternal destiny? Will your home be heaven or will your home be hell? The life that you're living right now, which way is it going, and who's watching you as you travel the journey of time? Many people meet today, they're just coping with life, and they're in a state of slumber. They're in a state of sedated condition, that they're locked in, that this is the way it's always been, and it's always the way I want it to be, and just life goes forward until I die. Somebody will say a few words over me, and that's it. What impact have you made? What difference have you made in other people's lives? And when you stand before a holy and just God, what will He have to say to you? You see, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. I have fallen to sleep and are not living in the light of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, the church would be flourishing. The people would be focused on kingdom work, not intangible things around us. They'd be focused on kingdom work. Jesus known. The next 30 minutes, how you respond to the Holy Spirit of God can change your life, change your family, and even change our church family. The battle is real. There's souls in the balance. Satan does not want you or I to analyze how you spend your life. He does not want you to slow down and think about what's going on in your life, what you're doing, and what direction you're going. He wants you to just go through the motions of the ritual, everyday thing that you're walking in slumber, you're walking in sleep, or you're sedated, and you don't realize what God has placed in front of you and the purpose for you to make His name known. That Christians are still asleep, not living in the light of Christ. That spiritual battle is so real. Satan does not want you or I to stop for a moment and think, where is this all going? The decisions I'm making right now, the things that I'm speaking right now, what is going on? Do you realize that every conversation you have, God hears? Every conversation God hears. When Aaron was working here and doing this, man, we had some blessed times. He shared with me some things, and it just blessed my heart. We were encouraging one another, and I believe iron sharpens iron, and I believe that when Christians get together that we should speak and encourage one another and lift each other up. Amen? No need to tear down. The world's doing a good job at that. Hello? There's enough negative out of the world. We don't need it out of the Christians. Hello? Are you there? Battle's real. Satan don't want you to analyze what you do with your tongue or what you do with your time. He wants you to run fast-paced. not checking out the consequences of your actions or your words. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible tells us we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we're warring against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this age, a spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. That battle is raging on. That battle is real. The battle that you and I cannot win on our own. But Jesus Christ has spoke to us and told us that greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And I believe that because it's true. Is Christ living in you? And are you a living sacrifice to God? The Bible tells us, as we read this morning in verse 13, that we need to put on the right clothes. I believe that Christians are wearing the wrong clothes sometimes Monday through Saturday, and we dress up on Sunday trying to make out like we're all right. But the Spirit of God challenges us and wars against us and begins to challenge us to get closer to God and to repent, which means turn away from that and turn to the cross of Christ and place our faith in Him. I believe that we're sometimes wearing the wrong clothes. And those that are lost, already wearing the wrong clothes, they're looking for hope. They're looking for somebody that's authentic. They're looking for somebody that's real. And we have the opportunity to be that witness. It's a battle. But greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. As a follower of Christ, as we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we have that power that will equip us and empower us to overcome because of Christ in us. Don't be wearing the wrong clothes. Look at verse 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting. Now, when you think of rioting, you think probably somebody standing out beside the road with the signs up and hollering, chanting, and carrying on. No, that there's a little bit more to it than that. It is rioting, but obviously there's more to it than that. We can riot with one another. We can riot to our neighbors. We can riot to a lot of different things, and that takes a lot of different forms. In gossiping and complaining and trying to get our own way, that can lead us to rioting as well. And then drunkenness. I do believe that in drunkenness, that a lot of people are sleeping and sedated by a lot of different things that this world offers us, that we're lulled into this state of drunkenness. Not in chamber and wantonness, the sexual desires and the sexual lust. As we talked about last week, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That sexual immorality. Those are not clothes of a follower of Christ. Those are not walking in the light. We need to put on the armor of light. Hello? Put on the armor of light. The armor of light, folks, means to be armed with the works of righteousness against the resurgence of the works of the darkness. That we are the light that penetrates the dark. Have you ever been in a very dark room that you can't see your hand in front of your face? And there's a little bitty light turned on. Exposes a lot of things, doesn't it? We're to be that light. We're to expose the truth of Jesus Christ. The truth. The way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through Jesus Christ and Him alone. We need to be the light. We need to arm ourselves with the light. We need to get into gospel. We need to memorize Scripture. Hello. I'm telling you that, and I'm struggling with it as well because I don't even remember phone numbers anymore because it's already in my phone. I have to read it and read it and read it and read it. But I believe that the gospel in, the gospel comes out. That God will use the words that we've meditated on, the words that we've memorized, the words that we've studied, the words that we've looked at and try to figure out what the context of it is so that it means something to us in our everyday life, that we can be the light, to engage the armor of light. Paul, as he spoke this, he says, walk in the Spirit and follow the leading. Follow the leading to surrender the influence of the indwelling presence of God, that power over the flesh that once controlled you, for the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, that be broken and that you're set free. Stand upon God's Word. Stand upon God's principles. Let the light of Jesus Christ shine through you. Put on those clothes. The habitual behaviors and lifestyles of that previous life must be utterly renounced and laid aside, and engage in what Christ has for you forward. I believe every day is a new day. I believe that every day the mercies of God is shown upon us. I believe that every day is an opportunity. As you get up every morning and you take that first breath, you have an opportunity that very day to be ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. God has gifted you. Don't go through the day without realizing how you can be an encourager and how you can be an influence, how you can impact somebody for the kingdom of God. God has so many blessings. God has so many blessings that He wants to exhibit through us and demonstrate to us. The life of righteousness must be engaged with faith and determination. We need to surrender to the Holy Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit. Walk and live in the Spirit. Ongoing. It's not just a one-time thing that you grab it and you go. It's an ongoing thing in our life. It's an ongoing process that He's growing us. Be determined. Choose daily. In Luke 9:23, He says, deny yourself to take up your cross daily and follow Him. To deny yourself. It's not about you. It's not about to make your name known. It's not about your cause. It's about His name being known. It's about His cause and purpose. That's what it's about. Deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. That means that you're going to, regardless of what everybody else says, regardless of whatever happens, that you're going to take the opportunity to make Jesus' name known to others. That you're trying to be in the living example, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. That you're living your life daily, taking the gifts and the talents and the passions that you have and using them for His glory, not for yours. That you're focused on Him and what He has for you. And you follow Him. If you follow Him, listen, folks, if you will follow Christ, I will about guarantee you will be out of your comfort zone at some point in time. Hello. That's a good thing. If it's out of your control, it's out of your comfort zone, listen to me, then He begins to be in charge. He begins to be Lord. He begins to be glorified. And He will do things for you that you utterly would not understand or even fathom. When you just step out and say, God, here I am. I don't know how you're going to do this. I don't know how we're going to go forward. I don't know where the money's going to come from. But God, You do. And You said we ought to do this. And I'm for it. And God says, hey, I got this. Why'd you lose sleep over that? I got this. So glad that you began to pray. So glad that you sought Me because it was out of your control. So glad that you leaned into Me in determination and desperation. God, I can't. You never said I could. You can. You all said You would. And by faith, I'm going to let You. Determine, leaning on Him, not our own understanding. And folks, don't push the door. Don't push the door. I know the Lord keeps me in check with that. When God gives me a vision, I want to push the door. But God says, no, you just wait on Me and allow Me to open the door. And I'm okay with that because sometimes when I try to push the door, I receive the consequences of that. But God says, just let Me walk daily with Me and follow Me. Don't push the door. Just allow God to walk with Him and get out of our comfort zone, out of our control, in His control. I pray you do that. Allow Him just to unfold His plans, that you follow His steps. Anybody in here ever have a bad dream? You had one of those bad dreams, and I don't want to try to prompt up that you call me this week and say, yeah, you talked about it. I hadn't had a bad dream in a long time, and then you talked about Sunday morning, and I had a bad dream this week. Please. But if you've ever had a bad dream, and you woke up in fear, your heart's racing, and you're sweating, but then all of a sudden you look around, and you are so relieved that it was just a dream. Whew. Oh, that was bad. It was just a dream. I'm glad I woke up. Folks, I've been with people before. I've witnessed this. That people going through trauma, listen to me, people going through trauma. There's an illness and somebody's in intensive care. It's a trauma of the tornado just devastated our home. It killed my mama. And you're devastated. And you were going through this and so this just feels like a dream. Feels like a dream. But it's real. But it's real. Witnessed young teenagers. Witnessed that the two of them were fixing to graduate high school, and they were both in the truck heading to celebrate a birthday. Witnessed this. Wrecked the truck, and his girlfriend died in the wreck. And went to the intensive care unit where both of them was there. She died. He lived. And I saw the devastation on both the families and the students around. I saw the devastation in it. You could hear. It just seems like a dream. But it was real. I've been in that intensive care unit where a loved one is there in the bed and the doctor says there's nothing else I can do. At some point today, you will need to make the decision to take everything. And I know what it's like to be in that room. And you feel like you're in a dream. This can't be. Life has been going on. This is a dream. But you can pinch yourself. You can go out and walk around. But it's still real. It's still there. And you're still faced with it. I know what it's like. And so do you, some of you. But I want to tell you there's some things in common in all of those situations. Not only does it seem like it's a dream, it's a bad dream, but it's real. But you also begin to reflect on time. You reflect on that time. When the reality sits in, you begin to think, did I make an impact? Did I make each day count? I've heard that so many times. Make each day count. As if it were your last. We need to wake up. Now is high time to wake out of the sleep. Now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. Time is running out. Are you making each moment count? for the kingdom of God, to make His name known, for His purpose that He has planned for you, to use the passions and the talents and the gifts for Him? Or are you just sitting back and saying, I'll wait until time is running out? Make each day count, fellow believers. Make each day count, followers of Christ. And for those who don't know Christ as your personal Savior, today is the day of salvation. Time is running out. God has a daily purpose for you. Are you sensitive to the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart to respond to Him this morning? Right now is the time. It's time for us to wake up, because salvation is coming quickly. The time is passing fast. Your days are numbered. I know people at this time probably go, well, you pastors always say that. Yes, we do. Listen, Noah, he preached for 120 years, there's coming a flood, you better get in the boat. You better get your heart right with God. You better repent and turn to God and God alone. You better trust God. Time's running out. And people said, yeah, Noah, you've been saying that for how long? It don't rain. You don't even know what rain is. You're talking about there's coming a flood. But then that drop came. And people went, what was that? Folks, listen to me. If you will watch what our culture is doing today, if you'll watch what our world's doing today, if you'll see the decisions that's being made and the way that things are transpiring quickly right now, you will realize that the drop has already started. But now listen. When nobody after he was preaching responded and time was up, God shut the door. God shut the door. Time was up. What are you doing with your time? Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now is the time. Now is the time to place Jesus Christ at the center of your heart. Now is the time we place Jesus Christ at the center of our church. We need to wake up and stand up for God and quit caving in to the worldly culture. Choose this day wisely. How are you going to respond to what the Holy Spirit's calling you to do right now? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for speaking to us through your word. We know that it will not return void. Holy Spirit, we realize that you're present, that you're here working in the lives and hearts. You're working and knows it's a way that's even watching this morning. For those that don't know you as personal Savior, I pray that today you lovingly draw them to salvation and that they respond by saying yes to you. Lord, for Christians, however you've been dealing with our hearts this morning, you know that and they know that. Lord, we've got a big place for people to come kneel and pray this morning, that they can take action and move to come and to pray and to talk to you about where they need to be, maybe about repentance, maybe about a recommitment to their life to you. It may just be, God, that somebody's needing to pray to intervene on somebody else's behalf. Lord, I don't know what you're doing in lives, but I know that you're working. I feel your presence. I know you're here. I know you have a desire. Father, maybe some here this morning, that this is where you've placed them as a follower of you, that you've called them to be a part of what you're doing at Real Creek. Just have your will, have your way in our hearts this very day. we'll praise you and make your name known, the name above all names. And that's the name that we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Would you please stand for this invitation?
Tom Nelson, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Okay.